Dive into the dynamic world of high school sports. Whether you're a seasoned athletic director, a newcomer to the field, or simply curious to learn more about this exciting profession, this podcast is your go-to resource for inspiration, education, and a deeper understanding of the game-changing decisions that shape the world of high school athletics. Welcome back to AD360. I'm Greg Vandermeid, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Scott Rosenberg. Scott, how's the start of the summer treating you so far, my friend?
So far, so good, man. We're recording this on June 23rd. My kids got out of school on June 20th, last Friday. So we're literally, today's really like the first school day they've had off. So we're just rolling into it. But yeah, man, I'm excited. The weather's really hot, and I'm excited to not just be in that daily grind of getting lunches ready and breakfast done and changing things up a little bit. How about you?
It's definitely a welcome change of pace. You know, we got our oldest has started his summer camp, so there's still the lunches and getting out the door and all that stuff, but definitely a lot of fun. It's unseasonably cool here in Salt Lake City, so I'm going to enjoy that because I know that we're going to be triple digits for the next couple months here and there. So enjoying a little slow start to the summer, much like you, you know, just the change of pace is nice. I know we collectively work with a lot of athletic directors and state associations, and just feeling that collective, like, okay, we got through the school year, but we got to start prepping for the next one, you know? So it's ever present on everybody's mind. So definitely excited.
The exhale just is getting ready for the inhale, man. Like, it's back at it again.
1,000%, my friend, 1,000%. I'm excited for us to join our podcast again today and kind of talk through some topics that I think will be beneficial for some ADs. So we're going to kind of dive in here in just a moment, but I want to lay the groundwork a little bit, kind of what we're going to talk about today. It is summertime. A lot of ADs around the country, I hope you're enjoying some much deserved R&R, a little bit of downtime, being able to relax, you know, breathe a little bit of sigh of relief. But I think we all know in the next couple of weeks that sigh of relief and relaxation turns into planning and getting ready for the 25-26 school year, because it's going to be upon us really quickly. So one of the things that we wanted to kind of dive into today was a little bit more of a logistical area that needs to be taken care of before the start of seasons, and your digital ticketing system, you know, giving your fans that smooth entry point while also making your life easier, making your bookkeeper's life easier. So what we're planning to do today is Scott and I are going to go through some of the best practices, some tips in this area as you plan for those upcoming seasons. So Scott, if you're ready to get underway, I think it'll be a good conversation today.
Excited. Let's go.
All right. Well, I'm going to jump in and just dive right into it and ask you right out the gate, Scott, what's one of the biggest pain points that you think most athletic directors have when it comes to traditional ticketing, if you will?
You're not going to limit me on this one, are you? You said
ramble them off.
Point has to be plural. Deal? All right.
Deal.
I mean, listen, business office and auditors, I'll throw them out there, right? Like, the business office needs things really tight and buttoned up when it comes to cash. And every year, as an AD, it seemed like auditors had a new recommendation for how to do it better. And I'm sure they were right, but it's like every time we got a process down, it was like, well, you can do it better this way or do it better that way. So right off the bat, like working with the business office, making it easy for them because they need to be your best friend. We've said that at other times, right? Like, you're asking them for money often. So I wanted my relationship to be tight with my business administrator, and cash was always something that could get in the way of that. The amount of time it would take me to like prepare the cash for a Friday night football game or a weekly basketball game was something that I just didn't have the time for, right? So it's like, hey, going to the bank and making sure you actually have cash on hand and the right denominations, and guessing, by the way, let's not kid ourselves, you're like, how much cash do I need as starting money? And then how many singles, how many fives, how many tens? And then during the game itself, like, somebody called me on a walkie-talkie saying, hey, Scott, I'm out of tens or I'm out of fives or I need that. So, like, getting the cash box ready, getting the tickets ready, starting number, ending number, like, that process would be hours. And when I would think about my Friday getting ready for a football game, say specifically, like, I didn't want to be doing that. It took up a lot of time. So you've got that. You've got safety. Like, hey, at halftime, I got to get the money into the safe. Then I got to worry about also on Monday morning doing the deposit. So there's a lot more than just that. It could be the ticket, the lines getting longer and longer because it would take longer to get in. And then the stress of seeing that line go into the parking lot and worrying about even like the cops being there so that there was a smooth way to get in and cars weren't in people online, at least at my place. So yeah, I know that was a lot, but there was a lot of pain points, man. Tell me it was different for you.
I wish I could tell you it was different for me. It wasn't, you know, like it was everything that you just said were the pain points for us. We did a lot of pre-sales too, you know, so like we'd have like big contests coming up and we'd start selling tickets for particularly football, right? You know, we would do it for basketball, occasionally volleyball, depending upon the matchups, things like that. When we were worried about sellouts, we would start doing pre-sales. And when it was cash-based, you had to dedicate time during the week, and we would always go Tuesday through Thursday, and that Thursday would always bleed into Friday because somebody didn't get their tickets, and then you're trying to reconcile those pre-sales prior to you leaving to go to the actual game on Friday and making sure that that pre-sale money was deposited in the business office prior to them taking off because they have lives too, and getting that money in the safe. So that in itself, the cash reconciliation process, I know it sounds to anybody outside of the athletic director world, it sounds kind of ridiculous when I say this, but I would have to find ways to kind of like lock my office to where people couldn't see me. Cause if I was reconciling anything, I'm sitting there 20, 40, 60, 80, 100. Hey, Greg. Okay, let's start over. 20. It could take me an entire work day to count through $1,000 because you've got people constantly coming in. You've got to get it right. Having to train up your gate staff personnel to ensure that you have the correct amount being charged. We came across that a couple different times where there may be a varying ticket price and you end up having to kind of eat that. You know, there's no way you're going to go back and recoup that money. And I think that you really hit the nail on the head when you're talking about dealing with the business office, making sure that you're being compliant, all of the checks and balances in place for cash, like who was handling it, what was the chain and everybody that touched it to make sure that you're compliant. There's just so many elements to it that really make it a headache. I know selfishly speaking, when we went digital, I was like, oh, thank goodness. And, you know, I was one of those people originally, I was a little bit hesitant because I had my system in place, right? I was used to doing it. And then we get one contest in. I'm like, I am not touching cash again. I do not want to deal with this. This is so much cleaner, so much easier. Business office loved it because they're like, all right, I have an exact report. I know where the money went. I know where it's coming from. Boom, boom. We're compliant for an audit. We have compliance for our audit. So many elements of it from the traditional speaking point of view where it's just difficult, you know? And then there's the human error piece. There's always going to be human error. No matter how diligent your ticket takers are or your ticket sellers are, they may accidentally give out wrong change and you're almost never going to be correctly balanced. There's so many pain points. As you said, plural, absolutely plural. Couldn't agree with you more on that front.
Yeah. I mean, like some of the things you said even made me think deeper into this. We weren't a big sellout kind of school. It didn't happen very often, but that's huge to have that real-time data in front of you, how many people are in, how many tickets have been sold, being able to cut that off. I've had lots of schools, like they want to give out free tickets to their student athletes. So they'll use their student ID numbers so that they can go in and buy tickets. I've had schools that have said, Scott, like, what if I suspend a kid from school? Can I prevent them from buying a ticket that week because they can't come? Yeah, you could go in and pull out their student ID number, and now they technically can't go on and purchase a ticket. You've got the $0 event ones where you're just trying to stay organized. I know so many people use it for say, a graduation, where there's a limited number of tickets for people, and it's like, what's the easiest way to do that? Hey, I'm going to send Greg. Well, Greg's going to use his student ID number, and he gets 4 tickets for indoor graduation. There's no charge for that event, but we just need to limit capacity and stay organized, or even know for safety reasons who's coming in. You could require that people put information about themselves so you know who's coming in to the event. So there's a lot of good use cases to make life easier than using cash.
Couldn't agree with you more. Could not agree with you more.
All right. So let's assume that everybody says, that's a great idea, Scott and Greg. I definitely need to go to a digital ticketing solution. It's June 23rd. It's July 1st. Like, when's the best time to roll out digital ticketing?
I think that's a great question, and that's one that athletic directors across the country probably grapple with, right? When do I do this? When do I make this change? I will have a shameless plug right now. We do have a great blog that's going to be coming out discussing about launching digital ticketing during the summer. And I couldn't agree with it more. I feel like the summertime is the best time to make that transition because it gives you time leading up to it. You can make the announcement to your campus community beginning in school year 25, 26, et cetera. This is what our ticketing process is going to look like. It gives you that time to get everyone trained up in the latter months of your school year as it's ending, transitioning into summertime where you have the ability to really kind of dive in, figure out what your best practices are going to be. But then also from a simplistic point of view, this is our process beginning this school year, and it is across the board. So you don't have two different ticketing systems going almost simultaneously, because say you do want to roll it out and it's like winter. Okay, well, you're doing cash during the fall and then you have the overlap of winter sports. It's not, there's not continuity there. I myself personally, we did the transition during summer months and it was a very smooth process. Allowed us ample time to communicate to our fan base, whether that was season ticket holders, social media, email blasts, welcome back to school packets for students. The information was put out there immensely because we had the runway in front of us in preparation for it. So I think selfishly speaking, from my own experience, I feel like summer is the best time to make this transition because you have the most time to get to really dedicate towards it, and you're not having the proverbial fires popping up left and right like you will during the school year. But that was my experience. What are your thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, on top of that time that you have in the summer, I also feel like if you roll it out for that fall season, you're set up for the whole school year. It's consistent throughout the year, what you've been doing. People get used to it. So now as you roll into your other seasons, you've already done it once, or twice or many times. So I think there's advantages there. That's not to say that any time isn't the right time. I will throw that in there. Like I've had people say, you know what? I'm going to do it like I missed the boat on football season or the fall season, but I really like I have more events for basketball. So
Yeah.
it's, I'd rather do it because there's 10 home games instead of 5 home games. And that'll make my life easier in terms of the deposit. And games are Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And like, yeah, I had the time to set up my money box one day a week if I really had to, but trying now, I'm like 3 days a week. I've got to worry about this between boys and girls basketball or wrestling coming in. Or hey, it's a smaller event and it may not like it may be easier for me to roll it out for a smaller event. I will say, as I mentioned that, like I still think you think about the fall season, most people will have scrimmages. Most of the ADs that I work
Yeah.
with, if they're going to roll it out, they're like, let's test it out on a scrimmage. $0 tickets, but let's get everybody already in the community used to the digital ticketing. Let me get my people on board. I would have never done ticketing for a scrimmage before, but we're going to like run this through and do a trial during scrimmaging. And I think the summertime is a perfect time to think about that too.
I love the scrimmage idea where you have that $0 event because it's your dress rehearsal, right? It's allowing everyone that is going to that really engage on that digital ticketing platform, from your gate workers to your athletic department staff, your families of players and athletes, as well as just the fans themselves. It's like, hey, here's how we're going to do this. Here's how you're going to purchase your tickets. And it gives them the opportunity to go through it, and you have the chance to go back and look at some feedback of, hey, I really like how we did this, but maybe we do this instead. Maybe we get some of those QR codes and we put them out in the parking lot instead of just having it right at the gate. It gives you that wiggle room. And then to kind of piggyback on what you said, it's really going to be based upon what your comfort level is, right? Where you feel is going to be the best time to make that transition. I've spoken with athletic directors where they do the transition for the spring sports. And they're like, hey, I want to ramp this up. We only ticket for a couple of spring sports. They're smaller crowds. We want to roll it out in the spring so we get our feet wet in it. And then that way we hit the ground running for the fall. It really boils down to what your level of comfort is. My experience, summer was awesome. It gave me plenty of time to really learn the platform itself, as well as get everybody trained up. And it also gave me that time to think through of every single scenario in my head of like, what about this? What about that? Because I wasn't having to spend as much time dedicated to the countless meetings that you're in, all the other items that you're juggling throughout the school year. That was my personal experience. I love your viewpoints on that. And I really like that scrimmage idea, Scott. I think that's a fantastic one.
Hey, listen, it just made me think too. We go with a Pixalot Air camera. We film the taking the tickets in, and then we break it down
Yep.
so that, like, the film doesn't lie, as they say.
Yep.
So
Eye
we
in the
can
sky
see what
doesn't
we did
lie.
well. We can see what we did well. Max prep's advantage. We got to train it to break down taking the tickets, and now we've got a training tool for future games.
That's the Rosenberg playbook for prepping for fall sports, right? I love it. I love it.
It doesn't lie. There you go.
That's fantastic. Well, I've got another one for you that I kind of want to talk through with you. You know, one of the biggest drawbacks that typically you'll hear from communities is going to be if they have a large population that maybe isn't tech savvy or they don't have access to smartphones, they're just cash heavy. You got a population that that's what they've done, that's what they want to do, that's what they're comfortable with. How would you approach that as an athletic director? You want to move to digital. You've still got a large group within your community, a demographic that might be utilizing cash still. How do you transition them? What are your thoughts there?
I mean, slowly, I would say, through communication. We talk about communication, over communication all the time. There's definitely ways to make sure that you can set people up for success when they get to your event. And we have digital card readers and iPads that allow people who aren't comfortable with, let's say, using an app or going online and storing their credit card info. We have a way for people to come in through GoFan, where it's literally, hey, I'm going to load up two student tickets and two adult tickets, and it's $24 for these tickets. And now you can tap your debit card, your credit card, your Apple Pay, your Google Pay, and you're in. And all of that gets mixed in for all the accounting purposes, all the reporting that we send out for people. And now you've allowed people to enter your stadiums without having to, let's say, use ticketing, even if they're not comfortable with it, and to also get away from cash for all those reasons that we suggested at the same time. So, whether it's communicating on how to use the app in advance or how they can use a signage when they get there and scan the QR code to go ahead and have those tickets sitting for you on your phone, or hey, if you're not comfortable there, you can get in an alternate method with our iPads and our card readers. Kind of have a solution for everybody to get away from that. But the most important thing, right, would be communicating that out to everybody as early and as often as possible.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think the communication piece to your campus community is paramount when it comes to level of importance, because you're giving them, you're not surprising them. They're not showing up to the gate and going like, well, wait a second, I've been coming to games for the past 20 years and this is how it's operated. You're getting the message out in advance. And then I also really like the bridge, if you will, for the point of sale, you know, when you have for GoFan, the box office units, that allows that bridge to be there. Maybe someone, they don't want to use their smartphone. They don't have a smartphone. They don't have access to this. How do you do this? Or they're just not sure of how to do it on their phone. When you have those individuals with those point of sale units, the box office units, it also serves as like a kiosk, if you will, like a help desk for some of those fans that are coming up. I think that it's a great way to transition your fan base, whether it's, you know, maybe your roadblocks technological, maybe your roadblocks still cash heavy. There's a ton of different ways in which you can approach this, and there's ways in which you can communicate it confidently and as well as you possibly can to your campus community so they have an understanding of it. And then with those point of sale options, you have someone there that can serve not only to accept the credit cards, but also help those folks as they're coming up. Maybe they do have a smartphone. Like, I just wasn't sure how to do it. Oh, that's great. You know, hey, let's do this. We'll go through the box office purchase, but I can also talk you through and give you a quick tutorial how quick and easy this is. Because I think you probably have seen it as much as I have. when you first roll out, box office is fantastic to have at the gate, but over time it starts dwindling how many people are actually going there because they start purchasing in advance, they start purchasing on their phones, and then you can just transition those devices over to handling your concessions and other things. So certainly communication is king on that front. I would agree with you there wholeheartedly.
You know, it takes me back to other episodes too that we've said, like, use your resources that you have. So, hey, if you have a varsity club, you have kids who need to put in a certain number of hours, where you've got teams who you can send those kids out there to help. But nobody's going to be better at helping somebody with technology than a kid who's in it all the time. So, guess what? Have your soccer coach send his or her soccer players out there, a few of them, to be at, you know, the football game. And as people are coming in, just be towards that line and be, hey, do you need help? Right? It doesn't have to be paid staff, and make sure they know how to do it. Use those kids as resources. Use those varsity clubs, like I said, if they need hours or something like that to be a part of the varsity club. There's lots of ways to help out, even if they don't get the message before they get there. Have those people like waiting around that area and help them out as they arrive.
Fantastic idea. I love it.
I mean, I guess we touched on this a little bit, but any other advice on the community and getting them ready, besides for, let's just say, the population that may not be comfortable with it?
Yeah, I think especially when you're looking at change, right? People are always adverse to change. No one really wants to change something they've been used to doing for so many years. I'm guilty of that. I'm sure many people are. I think the big thing is, one, the communication pieces we already touched on, but then two, also explaining the benefits that this provides the fan. The reason that you've made this transition isn't just selfishly for the athletic department itself. Though that is a great benefit, right? Everything that we just spoke about is tremendous benefits for athletic directors, bookkeepers, the entire school itself when it comes to the ticketing procedures. But for the fans, you can communicate to them, one, how it is going to be a faster gate experience. You're going to be able to get into your seats much quicker. You'll be able to have the ability to purchase your tickets in advance rather than waiting in line. I used to always hate it when I would be going to events and thinking to myself, uh-oh. Do I have enough cash to get in? I better stop at the ATM. Like, there's small benefits that you can really champion towards your community so they have an understanding of why this change is taking place and how it's going to not only benefit the athletic department, but how it's also going to benefit the fan base. I think that that really helps the change process because then folks are like, oh, okay, now I understand why they've gone to this platform. This does make a lot more sense. I can go in. I can buy my season tickets. I can purchase tickets for the next couple games if I want to. Heck, I forgot to get cash. I don't need to worry about that anymore because as I walk up to the stadium itself or the arena, I can just tap, tap, boom. Now I've got my ticket. I've gone in, I've scanned the QR code, I can purchase my ticket, I'm in the gate. So I think the way that you also really want to communicate it to your fan base is how much simpler of a process it's going to be for them as well. That's just kind of my take. What are your thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, they need to see the benefit, 100%. So agree. Made me think like how my daughter has no interest in going to a game with me, but she wants me to buy the ticket. I can promise you that. So hey, we do it here, right in my community. I'll go ahead and I'll buy an adult ticket and a student ticket, and right through the system, text her student ticket. She gets to walk in, not even knowing who I am. I want to watch the game too, so I go in, but I've purchased those tickets and I've transferred them over. Same with any other population who may not be comfortable with buying them themselves. Just a really simple process. It makes it easier. And doesn't it also professionalize the experience of a high school event? We always talk about that too, where I'm a high school, but I'd love to be more collegiate. I'd love to be more professional. I want people to think of my program in those ways, and nothing about a ticketing process says more college or professional than digital ticketing, right? As opposed to taking cash at the gate. I don't know anybody at those other levels who do that anymore.
Yeah,
So you've
that's
got that
true.
sort of like professionalized or collegiate type atmosphere with this ticketing. And I mean, there's so many cool things about that too. Heck, you could even have a sponsor on your ticket. Like, what if there's somebody in the community that really wants to be a part of your athletic program? we can help out with getting a sponsor and get cash back for the school for somebody who wants to be on those tickets. That says professional to me as well.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that that's a great approach to it too, because think of how many athletic directors that we've come across, and they view college mirrors the pros. High school is beginning to mirror college. You want to have that professional experience, that streamlined process, and it really does make a difference when you're going up to a venue and you're just pulling up your ticket, or you're purchasing it right there on the spot in a matter of seconds, and you're able to enter. It makes it a smoother flow. It feels more professional as you're displaying that. And it just makes the overall fan experience night and day difference. You're not fumbling around trying to get money out of your wallet and then stuffing it back in because you don't want to slow the line down behind you. There's so many different ways in which it just improves the process for the fans. I think that it's a no-brainer on that front, where it really, really improves that process. I think that's a good point that you bring up, Scott. So let me ask you this. In your perspective, how do you think an athletic director can best train, prepare their staff for a new system? You know, there's always going to be the questions of, well, how does this work? What do I do when this comes up? And I think that it's great to have those kind of onboardings, if you will, with your staff, because they may come up with questions that you're just not even privy to because you're not on the front lines day to day. So when it comes to that, kind of what is your thought process? How do you best train your entire staff for this change?
I think the most important thing I would say to you is it's incredibly simple, right? So like you got to start out from that level and that point and that perspective. It's simple. It's not difficult. And this is not something that you're going to have to spend a lot of time on training people. That all being said, in order to be comfortable and make sure that people are feel comfortable, yeah. One, like I said, get them that information early. Have one meeting, have an online meeting. There's videos that can be sent out right through us on how to. There's a ton of how-to videos. But get a meeting in, record that meeting, get it out to people who haven't seen it before. We talked about maybe having like a test, like a run-through, dress rehearsal types scrimmage. I think that's important. And like to note, when I say simple, there are other digital ticketing platforms who use QR codes and they have to be scanned to get into games. We can do that, but those require people to either have their own phone set up with an app to check people in or have the school's devices set up to check people in through QR codes. Ours is even more simple than that. Ours is like a tap and redeem feature. Literally, the person with the ticket can tap to get in right in front of the ticket taker. The ticket taker can tap and it's done. And you don't need any devices. Like people get scared of that or may have had bad experiences with that. It's incredibly easy. So train them early. Get out some training videos. Heck, you can have your students again. You can have a class help you and train, do a training video. Hey, this is how it is. And like have people walking in and show that off and get one of your classes involved in creating a video, get them some credit or something like that too. So it's just easy, but of course you want to spend the time like anything else, making everybody comfortable. Anything you would add to that?
No, that's exactly the same. That's the same approach that I would take, and that I actually do currently take. You know, working with our state associations, when we have new associations that sign up and join with us, one of the first questions they ask is, "Hey, we've got a lot of gate workers. We've got to get them trained up on this." So the webinar format, if you will, where you jump on a Zoom call and you record it and you allow people to ask their questions and you can walk them through step by step. Here's how you purchase. Here's how they're going to display. Here's how they redeem. Questions. Okay, here's how you address this. Here's how you address that. And it becomes an open forum for them to ask questions. And as they're asking those questions, you may see somebody that's adverse really kind of go, "Oh, well, this is much simpler than I thought." Because to your point, it is a very simple system. But if it's foreign to you and you're used to a certain way of doing things, you're already going to go in there apprehensive, right? So the more that you can communicate to them, the more trainings you can do. I love the scrimmage idea. What I've done with some of my associations too, when we have like a new group of gate workers, I'll set up a $0 event for us to walk through while we're doing the Zoom call, while we're doing that training. So they understand, okay, hey, here's how you're going to purchase it. Here's how you're going to redeem. questions on that. It just puts their mind at ease. And the beauty of this simplistic tap to redeem, and I said this as an AD, I say it now, you know, working for the organization as well. Say I have someone call out, they have a family emergency, they're sick, they're under the weather. I have personally done this where I'm like, hey, can you come help me for a second? Would you mind giving me about 30, 40 minutes of your time this evening? Here's how we're going to be able to validate tickets and people come in. It literally takes 60 seconds to train somebody up on it, and they have a full understanding of it. But to your point, the more you can get in front of your staff and train them up on it so they have an understanding of it, the better off you're going to be in the long run. Because it is a very intuitive system, but at the same time, when there's change involved, you want to make sure that people are extremely comfortable with it before you even open the gate for any events. So I couldn't agree with you more on that front, Scott.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that, right? It's important, but it's easy to do. How does digital ticketing impact the financial side of game day operations? Like, what is the advantage of the digital side when it comes to that?
I think first and foremost, like we talked about earlier, we all have worked or currently work with business offices, right? And you understand the importance and the complexity of the job that they do. The happier you can keep them, the more you can grease those wheels, the easier it makes your life. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I'll say that first and foremost. The business office is going to love it from the financial perspective. I would certainly be remiss if I didn't make note of there is going to be an uptick in your revenue because you're actually capturing everything. You know, whether it be human error, nefarious activity, it happens when cash is involved. So when you're able to eliminate that and you're looking at it from the perspective of, hey, here's where you're going to purchase your ticket. You have now completely controlled that. You eliminate that. So I personally saw some uptick in some of our events where we were capturing more and there wasn't those freebies given out, if you will. It certainly made it a much cleaner entry process. But I would definitely say from the reconciliation piece, so much smoother, so much faster. I used the example earlier where I'd be counting a couple $100 for hours throughout the day. And it's not because I'm bad at math. I'm not great at math by any means, but I can count 20s pretty quickly. And it eliminated that. And it got to the point where I would go in and I'd see the next day reporting, hey, how did our event do? What did girls basketball sell last night? Oh, okay, here's where we're at. I'm going to get that full deposit the following week with a full breakdown of how many tickets I sold. What is my net to that? It just made it so much faster for me as an athletic director than it was in the years prior, where I was spending time and like you have that overlap where you've got football and volleyball, girls volleyball and both basketballs and wrestling all taking place. And say you have home contests for one or multiples of those during the week, you're having to reconcile those throughout your regular work week. Now it's next morning, check it. Okay, here's my report. Boom, we're looking good. All right, on to the next thing. It just made it it was a game changer. I can't say it any other way than that. It was a game changer for our front office. It was a game changer for the amount of time that I got back in my week. And then also it was a game changer from our bottom line because we did see an uptick because we were actually capturing all of the revenue and there wasn't errant, you know, freebies given out. There wasn't, you know, mismanagement of funds and wrong change giving out. All those were solved for. How about you, Scott? What was your experience with that?
I would say yes. Everything you said makes sense to me. I would only add, you talked about capturing more of the money, and I've seen an uptick in a lot of other ticket sales from maybe not your quote like money sports or the ones that were best attended, because you've got the app or you've got the website where you can go on, and when you go there, you can see all of the school events that are taking place where tickets are being sold. And so I think I've used this example before somewhere where I went on to buy football tickets, but I noticed that the school play was going on like a week or 2 weeks later. I knew my neighbor's kid was in the school play. I would have missed it. I know I would have missed it if I hadn't gone on and seen that sitting in front of me. And I bought tickets right then for the school play for my family. And I'm sure I wouldn't have gone or I would have been last minute, or I don't think I would have gone at all if I hadn't seen it up there on the website when I logged on to go ahead and purchase football tickets. So you've got like that additional, hey, like way to market the other sports or the other events that are going on in the school, and you tend to capture or grab some more sales for those type of events too, which is just an extra like cherry on top bonus when it comes to having the digital ticketing.
You know, I think that's a great perspective on it because it's passive marketing, if you will, and it's really driving awareness of the other events that are taking place on your campus. So that's a great example. One I didn't even think of. That's certainly going to be a way in which you can draw more attention to other activities, other events taking place on campus. Absolutely. All right. So I got a question for you on this front from a data insight perspective. You know, you're going to be able to gather more information from digital ticket sales. How can athletic directors use that and leverage it to their advantage? Now that you have more information about your events, what areas did that really impact you, from a planning perspective, from an overall, you know, just strategy for your department? How are you able to leverage that data that you got from the digital ticket sales?
You're gonna tap into my geekier side right now, right? Like, I don't know. When I'm on talking to ADs and I'm like, I don't know, I geek out over this stuff. I don't know if you do, but I mean, there's a practical side, and then there's like the really like deep geek side of this that is even available for people. So when I say the geekier side, I mean you can figure out, hey, which day of the week for a football game do you sell more tickets? What time of the day are most of your tickets sold? What kind of device? Was it a mobile device? Was it a desktop device? Was it an Android? Was it an Apple? Like, I don't know. Those insights are kind of cool. When you talk about the practical side of it and for planning purposes, like you've got data and analytics that are there for you for years and years and years right in front of your face at any time. And so, what do I mean by that? Hey, I want to see trends. What, like, are we upticking? Like, is there an uptick in our ticket sales for specific sports over the past couple of years or not? Or which opponents do we tend to sell more tickets for? And do I need more security at a game where I know it's going to be more crowded? You think you know, right? And in many cases, you probably do, but it's nice to have the numbers to back up what your like gut is telling you about this is going to be a really busy game, or we've had problems here because we didn't have enough people working before. So it can help you plan for, like I said, security, the number of people you need working. As you're budgeting for the following year, you can look back and say, hey, like I spent this much money on my ticket takers. I brought in this much money. Was it efficient? Do I need to budget for more ticket takers? Can I take away some security from my budget and move it towards something else? Because we just weren't getting a lot of people at our boys basketball games this year or our fencing matches this year. So it just gives you like a lot of insight for a ton of purposes, safety, budgeting, planning, those kind of things. Before digital ticketing, you may have had to look through 100 sheets of paper. I would have had to gone through like my ticket reconciliation sheets or my deposits from every game to kind of start drawing that information and that data out. Whereas here it's like, hey, I'd like to have a bar graph comparing this or a pie graph showing this. And I'm just going to click on a couple buttons here in our system and I can grab all that data with a few clicks. So man, time savings, making life easier for ADs, for business offices. We talk it all about it all the time. This is a huge time saver and used correctly, money saver too.
Absolutely. And I love the data points that you kind of call out there and how you can leverage them to your advantage and really get better insights of what is driving your fans. You know, where are they engaging the most? I look at it from the perspective, I'm going to kind of piggyback on everything you just spoke about, because yes to all of it. 1,000% yes to all of it. Also, it allows you the ability, say you're prepping right now and you're looking for your schedule for next year. It's like, where do I put homecoming? You have data points that you can go back and look at and be like, okay, well, I'm thinking about putting it this week because it's latter part of the season. We're almost to the end of the season. Well, but if I did it a week or two earlier, this is the opponent that we actually drive higher ticket sales towards, so we could have a larger crowd involved, make it a better experience for the entire student athlete population that's on the team, as well as the students just in the school, have a great homecoming experience. Just being able to look at that and make those decisions, completely agree with you. Absolutely used it when it comes to game management personnel. Do we have enough? Can we reallocate elsewhere? It makes it easier too, where if you're asking for additional funds for game management personnel, you now have the data at your fingertips. And I would have been in the same boat as you. I would have had to pull out paper files, looking back on what my deposit slips look like, my reconciliation reports. Now I simply go in to the back office, play on HQ, pull up information. I can do date ranges. I could go by sport. I can look at all that information and have compelling arguments when I'm talking to the administration of, this is why I need more funds for security purposes. Look at how much growth we've had over the past 2, 3, 4, 5, however many years you've been utilizing digital ticketing. It gives you that visibility. You know, other simple things too. You could look at it from, hey, I see that we perform better when our tip-off time is at 6 rather than 5 or 5:30. You see those trends and you have cold hard data in front of you. You're not making anecdotal decisions. You're making data-driven decisions. And I think that that's where it really helps out athletic directors from that planning perspective. So absolutely, 1,000% yes to everything you just said, Scott.
Love that example about the time of games. Hadn't thought about that one, to be honest with you. But smart, really good example. All right, one of my favorite parts about digital ticketing is how it can be used outside of just like buying tickets for a specific game. So talk to me a little bit about concessions, fundraising, performing arts, and how schools or camps, how schools are utilizing the other parts of the digital ticketing system to make their life easier for other things.
You know, every one of those elements, there's so many great ways in which you can improve your efficiency. So first, let's tackle concessions, right? I would, like many ADs, blindly purchase. Like, I think we need this much. It gives you the ability to see if you want to set it up on a contest level, if you want to set it up at a seasonal level for your concessions. You can see how much you're actually consuming. You can see what are the big sellers. Again, going back to those data points, it allows you to make data-driven decisions for something like concessions. And some people may just be like, well, that's just a snack bar. It's like, yeah, but that's also a revenue generator for your programs. So the more that you can get visibility in there, and maybe there's a shift in your community's tastes, if you will. Hey, you know, hot dogs haven't been selling this well anymore, but we have seen an uptick in nachos, et cetera. You know, you are able to best stock yourself and set yourself up for success. It definitely makes the process a heck of a lot faster for the concession lines that are the mad dash at halftime or in between quarters. So that in itself, I've heard ADs, the second they started utilizing that, they're like, my goodness, this has been absolutely huge for us from this standpoint. Fans love it so much faster. Going back to your earlier example of the professionalism, you know, you go to any sporting contest, we have minor, like I know out here we now have, you know, NHL hockey, but prior to that we had minor league hockey. And even at the minor league hockey contest, you couldn't go up there with a $10, $20 bill and try and buy a soda or a snack or something like that. It is that professionalism experience that you get with it. From a fundraising perspective, it becomes top of mind. Your visibility, you know, they're going to purchase those tickets. You have the ability to put a call out, if you will, towards fundraisers as fans are going to purchase their tickets. It makes them aware of what you're working towards. You know, you now have that ability to get it right in front of the fan. They're going to be more willing to assist the program because they see it. And they're like, oh, wow, I wasn't aware of this. It drives that awareness. For other events, as we mentioned earlier, it just gives that visibility to the things that are taking place on campus, not only just for the parents that are buying the tickets, but the students that are purchasing tickets. They're like, maybe they're interested in the sport and they just haven't really had it at the forefront of their mind. They're going to purchase a ticket and they're looking to buy a ticket for a basketball event. And they see that there's other sports taking place. And I'm like, well, you know what? I've thought about wrestling, but I don't really know that much about, you know, I'm going to get a ticket and go check this out and see what it's like. But then the last one I'll touch on, the performing arts piece, that's huge because the reserve seating element within performing arts is such a demand. I know from where I came from, performing arts was its own animal in itself. And being able to have the ability to set aside, priority purchasing for certain events so parents could purchase tickets before general student population or general population in general. Way too many generals there, Scott. Word count right there. But anyways, it gives them that ability. And the reserve seating element has grown so much in performing arts, musical numbers, plays, all of those elements. You now have the ability to set up, venues and have specific seats sold. And it streamlines the process just like it does for athletic events where you can communicate this in advance. Parents, fans, et cetera, all know now here's where I go to get this. And overall, I mean, I just know from my experience that each one of these topics that we just touched on, there was a tremendous impact, where it just made overall efficiency improvements across the board. How about yourself?
Yes, a lot, but it's all right. One, I never have cash on me. So you talk about the concession stand, not only being able to like track trends and what you sell and what you're not selling, you'll sell more. I'll buy food at the concession stand just I don't have cash to buy it. But if I can come up there with my debit card, credit card, or let my kid go in with Apple Pay, she can use that. Probably gonna buy more at the snack stand just because I forgot to have cash on me, truthfully. So that helps. Like even field trips and camps and stuff like that, staying organized. Man, field trips are a pain in the butt to pay for. Check home, you worry about like send it back with my kid to school. You worry about did it actually get to the teacher? You wait for like your check to clear just to know that like you paid for the trip so you don't keep your kid off of the trip. That kind of stuff becomes wildly helpful. Senior trips, like I could go on and on, right? The seating charge you said, I think you can bring in more revenue because you could technically charge more for certain seats than other seats.
Yeah,
Pretty much
exactly.
always before, it's going to be like, just first come, first serve type of seating. And now you can actually charge more for other seats and as opposed to like that general admission side of things. So that becomes helpful. Using this for more than just school sporting events is where we've been asked to head by schools. Schools that have come to us and said, I love it for this and that. So just overall, again, we're very much about the fan experience as a company. And this, as we've talked about this entire podcast, all of this combined really helps elevate the fan experience. And that's what we should be all about as schools too, making it easier on ourselves and making it better for those people who are coming.
I love it. And you just kind of sparked a thought in my mind too. When you're talking about field trips and you're talking about camps, think about all the paperwork, all the forms that you have to collect and fill out. That can be embedded into the purchase process where you can collect information. You have the ability, if you want to have custom forms where you want first name, last name, address, emergency contact information, shirt size, the list goes on and on. You can bundle that into your ticket purchase and you don't have to hunt down all these other forms and keep track of them. You have a downloadable way of looking at this at any point in time. We're like, oh, I want to just see this in a spreadsheet format, or I just want a quick search and see in my ticket sales who's done what. You can easily go into the system and see it. So, I mean, the possibilities really are endless of how you can leverage it to making your life easier. I mean, you and I talk about it all the time on this podcast, find ways to work smarter and more efficiently and not just making things more difficult and time consuming on your end. And you most certainly can utilize the platform to expedite so many things that you have to do.
Yes, sir.
Well, awesome. I thought that this was a great conversation today, Scott. I really appreciate you joining me on this one. I think timing of it too is perfect as athletic directors are going to be shifting their attention there. Hopefully we're not jumping the gun on them, making them think too much on their vacation time about the items they've got to tackle here in the next couple of weeks, right?
Yes, sir. Timing is everything. Now is the time. And as a company, we've got a lot of people waiting and ready to help out. So excited to see where this goes.
As always, folks, if you liked what you heard today, stay tuned for future episodes. A few episodes that we're going to have coming out this summer are going to be how schools can elevate their fan engagement. We're also going to touch on how coaching analytics platforms have changed for change the game for coaches as well as student athletes. We're going to spend some time going over a preseason checklist as you prepare for your fall sports coming back onto campus. And we're even going to touch on a little bit of the official shortage that has been hitting high school sports. That's a topic I'm pretty curious about because I know that everyone that tunes into this has been impacted by that one way or another. So we're super excited to bring these episodes to you over the coming weeks and months of the summer. Anything in closing, Scott?
No, great job. Good talking to you. If people enjoy this, as you've said before, they can follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever people get their podcasts. So don't miss any episodes. And from AD360, I am Scott Rosenberg.
And I'm Greg Vandermeid.
Until next time.